Blog Talk Radio.
I'm only in my 60s. I've got a nice long life ahead. Big plans. So when I found out Medicare doesn't pay all my medical expenses, I looked at my options. Then I got a Medicare supplement insurance plan.
If you're eligible for Medicare, you may know it only covers about 80% of your Part B medical expenses. The rest is up to you. Call now and find out about an AARP Medicare Supplement Insurance Plan insured by United Healthcare Insurance Company. Like all standardized Medicare Supplement Insurance Plans, it helps pick up some of what Medicare doesn't pay and could save you in out-of-pocket medical costs.
To me, relationships matter. I've been with my doctor for 12 years. Now I know I'll be able to stick with him.
With these types of plans, you'll be able to visit any doctor or hospital that accepts Medicare patients. Plus, there are no networks and virtually no referrals needed. So don't wait. Call now and request this free decision guide to help you better understand Medicare and which AARP Medicare supplement plan might be best for you. There's a wide range to choose from.
We love to travel, and there's so much more to see. So we found a plan that can travel with us anywhere in the country.
Join the millions of people who have already enrolled in the only Medicare supplement insurance plans endorsed by AARP, an organization serving the needs of people 50 and over for generations. Remember, all Medicare supplement insurance plans help cover what Medicare doesn't pay and could save you in out-of-pocket medical costs. Call now to request your free decision guide and learn more about the kinds of plans that will be here for you now and down the road.
I have a lifetime of experience, so I know how important that is.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Need it.
try to show you, baby, I that I love you.
Ooh,
every day, sugar, I want you to know
that I love you,
baby.
I say,
yes, I do.
Ooh,
yes, those ain't both.
This is a product of Beverly Nation. This is the talker, Wanda Walker, on air now from Lagos. Dial in, please, at 516-453-9131. And please remember to press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Hello, everyone. Let's get to it. It's Friday night, and the primaries are over, and we have a lot to talk about. So I'm going to give you that number one more time, 516-453-9133. And please press 1 to join the conversation. I'm going to be talking about the politics of stealing black and brown cities and generational wealth. It's very important that we look at this. They do it through new programs, new improved programs like redlining, but now they're new and improved, and they're called programs, and they push it on us, making us believe that they're actually trying to help us when, in fact, they're really trying to push us out. That is my belief. I do think that a lot of my listeners know that not only am I a daycare owner, but I'm a landlord, and I've had some situations I could write a book about. And I want to make people aware of what's going on in our cities across the United States, especially the predominantly black and brown ones. Generational wealth that we worked very hard for many, many years is being snatched overnight all different ways. It's not just deeds being stolen. They're unfair predatory bills and fines and fees being leveraged or levied on us or upon us that we can't keep up with. And then you're just forced to sell your property. Sometimes you end up losing your property or you get fed up and you sell because you can't keep up with everything that's going on. So I want to give a couple of examples of how this is done, and then I want you listeners to give me a call or tell me what you think, and have you experienced any of these situations yourself? Very high utility bills, unexplained very high utility bills, like water bills. You know, the water meters in Philadelphia was just, they were just replaced pretty much 2 years ago when we had a big scandal, and now they're being replaced again. I know on one of my buildings alone, the water meter has been replaced 3 or 4 times since, I think, 2010. That's alarming. Why do meters have to be replaced so many times? And why is it costing so much money for users nowadays? There's another bill I want people to look at called the storm water bill portion of your water bill. As it was explained to me, that was put in place to help with the replacing of the pipes that need to be replaced. But the storm water bill is charged according to how much it rains, something God does. And if you are someone barely holding on and you can barely make your taxes, you can sometimes have a storm water bill that's much more than a regular water bill and almost the price of the property taxes. So to me, that's just another way to tax people and just give it another name. It is something really wrong with a city as beautiful as Philadelphia and some of the other cities across the United States when our representatives can only find one way to generate, or very limited ways to generate income or revenues through taxing people more. And when they're not taxing, they're finding fees to create CPA. Everyone's talking about the new street sweeping, and if you don't move your car, and sometimes you can't move your car, you're getting these tickets. Are you all aware that it's 18,000 blocks in Philadelphia? Can you imagine the amount of money tickets for street sweeping day can make and generate? I did the math, and it was millions of dollars. We need jobs. We need quality jobs coming to Philadelphia, and we need our Philadelphia and other city, our political representatives, to really stand us and hear us that more needs to be done to make the city better and to generate revenues. So ask Ronnie, Brother O, what is my Brother O? I want to ask, do we have any callers coming in?
At this time, don't worry about callers. Don't worry about callers. Just do your transcript. I'll let you know when the callers come.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So I want to give another example of some of the things that the city hits us with besides the water bill. Has anybody noticed the electric rates going up and heard about the new conversation about over 30, I think someone told me today, and I didn't have a chance to look this up, so excuse me if the numbers are a little off, but they did tell me like 30,000 people had shut-off notices. That makes no sense. I know for sure that I've noticed a difference in the electric bill as well. So as a landlord, sometimes we're forced to take on responsibility for bills that aren't even our own. And that's just not fair when someone else enters into a contract. Why would someone else be forced to pay a bill? So I asked you, if someone like a tenant has a car accident, should the landlord then pay for the car accident? If someone smacks or harms or hurts their significant other, should the landlord then go to jail because of that? It's just, it makes no sense. And I have a theory because of what's going on. I have a theory to why they're doing things this way. I think truly they want to get people in the mindset of just giving up on generational wealth and ownership and just selling. And once we sell, then other people could be moved around any way they want to move them around. I don't think most people realize that 64% of your low-income and underprivileged housing comes from black and brown landlords, small landlords. So if that's the case, why would city council not do something more to support and protect us to make the environment safer for landlords, more user-friendly and more no-nonsense with the game-playing and the professional renters, as we call it. It really makes no sense, but when you start to connect the dots with the water bill, the taxes, the fines, the fees, the rules, the regulations, L&I, health department, all the different departments that can levy fines and fees against you as a property owner and or a landlord and even a business owner, it makes it very unfriendly to do business and own property in Philadelphia unless you have a lot of money. And so that's the question that I'm posing to people now. Do you think should be done? What did you think about the primaries and the numbers that came in? The numbers, we saw people win big time, like our Sherelle Parker, congratulations to her. And then we saw really good people lose by small margins. and maybe that needs to be recounted. But I'm going to give you the next track by international DJ legend Brother O, and we'll be right back. And I am your host, Wanda Walker. On air now from Lagos, dial in 516-453-9133. And please remember to press 1 if you want to join the conversation. This is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. So we're back at it again on a Friday night, and I want to talk about real estate as always, generational wealth, and the primaries that just happened. We had a lot of good people who ran. And there's a problem in our city. People, good people who are qualified, don't really stand a chance of winning in Philadelphia because of how the political system is set up. It's not right that someone can wear more than one political hat, and the other hats that they wear influence or have something to do with how people vote or what they do. Having someone be a council person and a ward leader is like having the fox watch the chicken coop. And it gives the types of results that we're seeing in Philadelphia now. There's a reason why this city is doing so poorly. Has a lot of potential. We have a lot of good new people that really want to be a part of the solution, but they can't get a seat at the table. There is too much political corruption, too much pay to play in Philadelphia. I have to say these things because it's true. I know I'm saying things that a lot of people like to whisper about and not talk about because we're supposed to, I guess, be afraid of the very people we put in office. And that's really sad. I would hope that the people we vote for, we can trust them to represent us, and that if we say you're not doing a good job or give suggestions, they should listen. There shouldn't be a backlash, and you shouldn't be afraid to say what is the obvious. We see it in the numbers. We see it in the crime. We know something's just not right here. So I'm going to go to caller one is in the queue now. So I'm going to go to caller one and hear a response. Thank you, Brother O.
Hello, Miss Wanda Walker. How are you? This is Ava Holly.
Hi, Ava. How are you tonight?
How you doing tonight? You sound wonderful. I'm excited.
Well,
I'm just calling
you,
in to support your show. I can't speak from hand knowledge, yet I do have a friend that ran for office in Philly and lost to the incumbent. Was gaining ground there towards the end. Yet I understand totally what you're saying, and I don't think it's only in Philadelphia. This problem exists in a lot of places, and it's just so sad because we depend on our government, and we can't even trust our government. You know, it's like it's crazy how things work. It really is. But I love that you're bringing it to the forefront, and I congratulate you for that, and I'm enjoying listening to your show.
Well, thank you very much. You're absolutely right. It's a shame. We should be able – term limits would help solve a lot of this problem with the incumbent running, and many districts, our very council persons, are also ward leaders. And I'm not saying that all of them are bad. What I am saying is we have a democracy here, and how do we, the citizens, get to have – an honest chance of picking or having a choice if the person already in office is doing things that prevents anybody from running against them. I spoke with someone at Committee of 70. I proposed that if someone were to hold more than one seat, like a city council seat or state rep seat, and be ward leader, that they should not be able to challenge a newbie or someone trying to run against them, because they just have such an unfair advantage that really, if you really understood what really goes on, you wouldn't even waste your money running. It's really that bad and that corrupt. It needs to be, we really do need to have something done, even an investigation, a complaint. What I would hope for is that all the really good people that did run in this last primary that experienced any type of a disrespect, corruption, discrimination, unfairness, political corruption, anything that they saw at the poll that was wrong, that they would file a complaint and file a report and also email the Auditor General, the Attorney General, or somebody, and I think it is the Attorney General, you can start there, and ask for an investigation of the different things that people saw that was wrong, that was improper. We have to do something to stop the nonsense that's going on. And people spend quite a bit of money running. And if you saw the numbers, they really talked about how this was like one of the most, if not the most expensive election ever in Philadelphia. The amount of money they spent in the primary, you could still feed a couple of third world countries for probably a year or two. So it's a lot to think about. It really is. November in the general, there are other people that will be running. And we have to keep that in mind. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. We have other people that will be running, and we need to take this serious because whoever we pick, we're going to have for the next 4 years. And this is very important. So There will be new parties coming in, because what we saw a lot of were, of course, were the Democrats and the Republicans. But come November, you will get third-party candidates. And you owe it to yourself as citizens that want more and want better to listen to everybody. You can't make an informed decision without hearing everyone's platform. And match your platform with your needs. Not so much parties, but listen to the person and listen to their platform and listen to what they're offering, the solutions, and how they plan on making changes. Because parties can come and go, but integrity is consistent if the person has it. And so that's very important. I want to read some titles of some articles I pulled out. Because I thought it was very important. I think that these titles go with what we're talking about tonight. And the first one is, and these are new and recent articles within the last 1 or 2 years. And this first one says, "Can you change the culture of corruption?" And this is by a very good editor or reporter, Larry Platt, and he does the Citizens newspaper. Then I pulled an article from, I think this is Willie Penn or Billy Penn. Judge declares a mistrial in the Philadelphia City Council member Kenyatta Johnson's trial. And then I have yet another one here saying the corruption and consenting. So these are all recent articles. The last one, Corruption and Consenting, is May the 3rd, 2023. So that was just a couple weeks ago. When you start talking about you can't change a culture of corruption, and this was written December 2021, this really doesn't sound good, because these are people who know better than anybody else exactly what's going on. Because these are professional reporters that actually do the research. I really like the articles that come out of the Pew. They do very good reporting with statistics and everything. I want to mention also two books. I'm reading two books right now. Brett H. Mandel. This just came out recently, and it's Philadelphia, Corrupt, and the City, A City Struggle Against the Epithet, Corrupt and Consenting, also. And then I have another book, Mayor, The Best Job in Politics, and that's by Michael Nutter. And I was honored to get him to sign this book a week ago when all the black mayors came to Philadelphia, so that was pretty cool. But these articles tell it like it is, and it's definitely something that we need to pay attention to. I also mentioned about the water bill. I'm curious to know, are any listeners having any problems with water bills, tangled titles, electric bills, gas bills? Do you think that your properties are being assessed properly and fairly? We always talk about abatements. I, for the life of me, I had a wonderful guest speaker, James, come and speak about the abatement and how it works. And I still left feeling that something's just not right there. You should not be able to come in and buy a property and not pay taxes for 10 years when other people who have been paying taxes for 20 and 30 years are having their homes taken over taxes for just a few years. Make it make sense. It doesn't make sense. So these are that are on my mind about Philadelphia, because I really love Philadelphia. I really have a problem with what I see going on in Philadelphia. I truly believe that Philadelphia only has two major problems: corrupt politicians, and unaccountable parents. if we could get those two things in check, I think that Philadelphia would be beautiful again. It would be safe again. It would be a city of beautiful communities, of blue-collar workers, people who could take the time to get to know their neighbor, because you could sit on the front porch without being shot. Track next by the international DJ legend Brother O.
Caller, you're online right now. So we go to the next caller. Caller number three, you're live right now with Wanda Walker, the talker.
Hello. Press one.
All right. It's all right. It's all right, Wanda. Now, they did press one. Now, when you guys press one, that means you want to talk to us. So it's all good. You know, we're going to put you back on ice. And, you know, our girl got a great transcript anyway. Go ahead, Wanda.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about councilmatic prerogative and what that means to Philadelphia and other cities, because when I say Philly, we know that Philly is just an example of what's going on in other cities across the United States. Councilmatic prerogative gives a council person the last say-so on whether a property gets sold and who it goes to, And if you look at all the things that have been going on in Philadelphia for many years, a lot of that has centered around the buying and selling of land, snatching of properties, deeds, and things like that. And there's another way to do this. I don't think that one person should have that much power. It can be corruptive. It can put you in a situation where you might do some things you wouldn't normally do. And maybe, just maybe, for instance, since you have 10 districts, and those 10 districts have councilmatic prerogative, maybe their last say-so should not be final without the decision of some of the city councils at large. So maybe it shouldn't just be one person anymore. Maybe it should take the vote of one city council district person and two city council people at large. And then that would be a little bit of overwatch. We also have the land bank stepping in. Maybe it should take both parties deciding. Giving the interest to just one could still end up in a different type of corruption. But if we have both working together, or maybe even all three, then maybe we wouldn't have such a problem. It's really disturbing that someone can be someplace when things aren't that good, be the backbone of a community, and then they can't even afford to stay. They actually have to choose between staying and keeping the heat on. That's a problem. Philadelphia, I don't think, really respects or protects their seniors, and it's really sad because if we are lucky and blessed, I guess we'll all get older one day. And you should be able to enjoy your latter years without having to worry and stress out about bills. And I have to say that when we're not, a lot of the people I know, when we're not talking about business and paying bills, we're stressing about or talking about the stress that paying bills can cause. I spoke to about three different people today, and we all had the same conversation. Bills, 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 and more bills, corruption, and politics. I want to also let you all know about the top 10 corrupt American cities. And before I start listing them, put in your mind where you think Philadelphia would rank between 1 and 10. And it would be Illinois, Chicago, number 1, California Central, number 2, New York Southern, Manhattan, number 3, Florida Southern, Miami, number 4, District of Columbia, number 5, New Jersey, Newark, number 6, Philadelphia, Eastern Philadelphia. So it says Pennsylvania, Eastern Philadelphia, number 7, Virginia, Eastern Richmond, Ohio, Northern Cleveland, and then New York, Eastern Brooklyn. And that's disturbing. We are on the list of too many bad things. Number 1, poorest big city. We all know about that. Here, right here, saying we're tops in corruption. I always let you all know we're number 1 in organ donation. Those are our children hitting the ground, dying, and their body parts are being used. I know that they save a lot of people's lives, but they should be able to live, and they haven't even begun to live before they're dying, and that's a problem. I also see that a lot of people in Philadelphia don't connect the political corruption or connect it. One causes the other. One controls the other. So we need to think about these things. When we're voting is so much more than just voting. It's about how your community is going to access jobs and resources. It's about how safe it's going to be. It's about how your children are going to be educated. All of these things are very important. To some people, it's more important than others. But no matter what, it still affects everybody. Voting is such an easy thing to do that it should be a no-brainer. Yet, we only had one-third of the population come out and vote. Unfortunately, we had 90,000-plus mail-in ballots, that I really don't trust. I don't think, and it's just my personal opinion, I don't think that mail-in ballots should really be used the way they're being used unless you really have a physical impairment that prevents you from walking and getting out, unless you're in jail or incarcerated. And unless you're in the hospital, I think that it's a privilege and a right to be able to vote, and everyone that is voting should really take the time to go out to the polls and the machines, because those machines are much more guarded and more accurate than mailing in ballots that ballot boxes can be broken into and things can be miscounted and so on and so forth. And just because people vote one way, who's to say someone doesn't the other way? These questions have all been said before, and we know that because of the corruption in Philadelphia, that this is very possible. So voting is very important. It's a very good step to voice your opinion. Is safer than marching and protesting and showing up downtown and all the other things that people like to do to get attention. Voting and writing emails are the safer, better way to really get the attention of our political representatives and getting them to do something and act on our concerns. I heard a state representative, I think it was, the other day on another station, and he stated, Chris Rabb, he stated, what we should do is to call. He said, call. He said, not even emails get the job done when you really want to be heard, as picking up the phone and making a phone call, because that phone rings in the office. So I want all the listeners to stop and think about the little things that you can do that together would make a big difference in Philadelphia, and bring it back to the point of us being heard and getting the respect that we deserve and getting the representation that we deserve, because after all, we are the voters. We are the boss. And these people are doing a civic duty, and they work for us. So why not make us happy? Why are we so discontented, and why are we willing to just give up on the whole voting process altogether when there's so much more we can do? We have to start thinking about that. It's very hard, you know, paying bills, making ends meet for some of us. But is everybody trying to at least do something to make a difference? Please don't get to the point where you just throw up your hands and you don't care anymore, because our kids are looking at us. They have futures, and they deserve better from us. We deserve better. We deserve better than what we're getting. And with numbers, we can get that if we pull together. So please, listeners, think about that. I'm going to give you some more statistics. Did you know that 64% of all your low-income and underprivileged housing comes from small and black and brown landlords, not PHA? So why is there such a push to make it seem like all your landlords are big, very rich people that don't look like you and I? Why is it such a push to push a landlord like myself into foreclosure. It only takes 3 months to fall into foreclosure. A foreclosure is worse than a bankruptcy. And once you're in a bankruptcy, being that it's a bank, once you're in a bankruptcy or a foreclosure, that sort of messes with whatever you're trying to do business-wise for the next several years, like 7 years. So why would city council pass something that allows someone to not pay rent or to stay and not pay? One person having a situation should not cause or create another person situation of losing a property that they work for. Track next by the international DJ legend Brother O after this message.
Nothing feels better than my baby's arms. They've been around me a long time. Nothing feels better. Makes you glad to face the new time. Tell you nothing better when there's no need to look. Oh, you know who's there.
Hello, beautiful people. We have caller number 4 in the queue. Caller number 4.
Please unmute yourself. Now, of course, I get texts from Wanda saying people on the line. So if you press 1, you're talking. So there you go. We can hear you now. All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I was wondering, Wanda, what are your thoughts on the gentrification of Philadelphia? I live in the northwest area. Actually, I live in Wayne Junction, which is very close to.
Oh, right down the street from me.
Ground zero.
Yes, it is. Things are moving fast and heavy in Germantown and in that area. Gentrification. A gentleman by the name of Corey Camp, by the hood, and James, he says gentrification is the word that you use when other people can't afford housing, so they come back to the inner city. There's a difference between gentrification and revitalization. And I'm planning on hanging a banner from my building to make a statement on that topic, because I think that you can come. I don't think we have a right to tell anybody they can't come. There's plenty of vacant lots and vacant buildings. You can build with us and around us, but you can't build over us. And there's a difference between gentrification and revitalization. Revitalization includes the people that are already there. It doesn't push them out. So I have a problem with it. And I really want to understand. Go ahead.
I just want to say that I actually live in the neighborhood, and I actually drive around the neighborhood all the time. And not to tout my qualifications, but I've been a property inspector for banks and mortgage companies for 5 years and 10 years for HUD. So I've been in all areas of Philadelphia on a consistent basis, not just every now and then, month to month. So I see changes, consistent changes. I mean, at the time I was doing it. I'm not doing it now, but I'm just saying that to make people to listen and understand that I'm in an area now, Wayne Junction, where I don't know who's on the line, but I think 10, 15 years from now, you'll have little white kids running around here talking about that they don't believe that we're ever black people here.
Wow.
I know that's a heavy statement.
It is a heavy statement, but I remember that three, four years ago, Henry, when they were opening up the Wayne Junction and the beer garden, they literally had plans for the dog park across the street. And I'm like,
I was there a block and a half from that up the street on the same street.
Yes, I know exactly where you are. Do you remember where they wanted to put the dog park? Are they still going to put it there?
I don't
right
think we're dog.
The
yeah,
I saw the plan. which, Henry, because you're an inspector, so tell me this.
They were buying all the properties around an area. You can't buy a dog house and speaking of dogs.
Dog park.
They don't have one. The only way you're going to buy a property here is if somebody dies. Did you hear what
I
said?
Yes, unless somebody dies, and they're waiting for people to die, and then that's when they snatch the deeds and all that other stuff that they do. And Tracy Gordon was working really hard to stop the
changing
title.
The amazing Southwest Tracy.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know her, but I see her on Instagram.
Yes.
Someone else.
She was working very hard to stop that.
And
I actually saw the plans for a dog park at the corner of Roberts and Wayne where the seafood truck used to be parked. That was going to be a park just for dogs.
Okay, why not? Why not? I mean, you know, I've been here 30 plus years, so I feel safe in saying that I've seen some serious changes in the neighborhood, some not slight when I first came here, but much more intensified in the last 10 years. Now, they built a property at the top of the hill at Berkeley and Pulaski, 14 units, one and two bedroom apartments, four story, that used to be a lot that had been vacant for 20 years because I live right down two doors from it. So I know I've watched them when they built the whole thing, when they dug the hole in the ground, when they excavated from that time. I have filmed everything from the time that they opened the doors, and I was invited in to look around.
Okay.
So when people say that, you know, I don't know what's going on, or that, how do I know? Yeah, I know because I'm here every day. And I didn't even know that the bottom of the hill, when you said that they were proposing the dog park, is that they took that factory over there that had been a factory for 100 years and turned into apartments with a big driveway in the back. I didn't even know that. And I live up the street.
They sure did. And had several opportunities for people to come look at it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not questioning who, what, where, and why, and when. I'm just saying that we know the playing field is not level. We already know that.
Exactly, exactly.
You have corporations that are coming here from New York and other states that are buying blocks up here. They come with bags full of money for real. So
you're absolutely right. What do you think about that bill that they passed over around 40th Street, that if you, and I think it's for maybe the whole city from my understanding, like for these developers, when they're building an apartment building, and when it's going up, I don't see any community people, black and brown people, women on these sites. But when they go up, it's supposed to be that they have to put 20% aside for low-income housing. But if they don't, they can opt out of that by paying extra money, yet they still get the abatement. I wish I had James calling in so he could confirm that, but that just doesn't sound right.
Well, let's go back to what you were saying earlier about politics.
Okay.
Politics are the engine that run this city. Politics and money. If you think of anything else, then you're sadly mistaken.
No, you're absolutely right. Henry, I want to thank you for calling in, and we're going to go to caller number 5. And thank you very much for calling in and clearing up some of that. You confirmed what I've been saying because I'm right up the street from you. Thank you so much. Caller number 5?
Hello? Yes, hello?
Hello. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
How's everything going?
Oh, everything is going great.
Who I had the pleasure of speaking with?
James Whitehead.
Hi, James. How are you?
How you doing, Ms. Wanda?
I'm doing okay. Do you want to speak about the topics tonight, politics or real estate and what's going on, primaries? Give us what's going on.
Yeah, so I want to talk specifically about politics. Real estate. Well, I'll do both, but let's just talk about real estate, right? Now, I own a property in Delaware.
Okay.
And I bought it from the WilmingtonLandBank.org. I bought it for $1. And
wonderful.
45%, I bought it for like, it was like 45% of the property was already fixed. And I found that unique. Whenever I try to purchase a property here in Philadelphia, it's the Philadelphia Land Bank.
Mm.
And I just think that the land bank here in Philadelphia is corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
It's pay to play. And it doesn't help. Like, they say, hey, you can purchase a property, it's for all the residents, but that's not true. That's not true. Like, if you look at the Wilmington Land Bank, you can literally go to WilmingtonLandBank.org, and there's two things that they offer. They offer the investment, where you can actually purchase the property for 2 years outright, and the other one, which is a dollar.
And
you would have to live in the property 5 years before you can even sell it. Then you have Baltimore, which offers its residents the opportunity to own a home, and it will give you up to $50,000 to rehab the home.
Beautiful.
And Philadelphia used to be that way, where you could purchase a property for a dollar, allowing, you know, residents of the community to be able to get the property. But one thing that I found very unique about the Wilmington and Baltimore land banks are they give you the opportunity to look at the property. Here in Philadelphia, when you buy a property from the auction block, you can't even look into it. Now, you can't even go in the property to even inspect it.
Exactly.
Wilmington and Baltimore is different. You could actually go into the property, allow you to go into the property, do an assessment value to see if you even got the money to even fix the property up before even purchasing it. Now, this is the problem. When people from New York City and people with, I'm not going to blame New York City, but people with deep pockets, real estate companies with deep pockets, they're not worried about what the conditions are inside of the property because they know they have the money. Versus a resident that may live here and has like $30,000 or $40,000 to work with. At that point, the resident with the $30,000 to $40,000 would possibly outbid it or possibly go into the house and not have the actual money to fix it up. So, that right there would just disfranchise a large amount of people in the city of Philadelphia to even participate and feel secured in
it's a setup for failure.
Yeah, so that is very true, because the people that got $40,000 to $50,000 are going, this is all I got.
Exactly.
So if I can't see the property, then I'm not going to bid into it. If you go there, it's very rare that if you go to the auction, that you'll see people and residents from Philadelphia in the bidding process.
You're absolutely right. James, can you hold on while we do a track by NBA legend Brothers O? Because I want the callers to know what you will be doing in November. So hold on, please. I heard you say
I'm still here.
Hi, James. Can you let everyone know what you will be doing in November?
Yes, I'll be running for city council in the 7th District as an independent. I'll be running for 7th District, which is the neighborhoods of Kensington, West Kensington, Harrogate, Frankfort, Juniata, Oxford Circle,
you're taking on the toughest part of the city.
Yeah,
you're taking on the toughest part of our city, the forgotten part of Philadelphia,
a part
of Philadelphia that needs a lot of attention. And I want our listeners to please pay attention. James Whitehead is going for District 7 as an independent. And maybe you might want to explain or not explain why you went independent. I don't think it really matters. For me, I will vote for anyone running that is a good person with good intentions and integrity and has a good, solid platform, regardless of their party. And I don't care who likes it or doesn't like it, because I've supported Democrats. I've supported Republicans. I've supported independent people. I just believe in supporting good people that really want to make good change, because we really need that. If we keep allowing titles like parties to separate us, we'll keep getting the same results. So,
absolutely.
James, did you want to say anything else, anything more about your the discrepancy with the land bank? I have something like that going on right now, where I have the okay to buy something for over 4.5 years, and I can't seem to get this finalized to save my life. And this discrimination and the corruption is just unbelievable. And I don't even know if it's coming from land bank or if it's coming from representatives. But this stopping black and brown people, or any person willing to put in the work and put in the money and be in the community to do the right thing, stopping them from progressing, it just doesn't make any sense. And that's why Philly is the way it is. Good people leave. They keep being harassed. So I'm going to bid you farewell for tonight, because I am getting caller number 6 coming in, James. But call back, could you please? I want to make sure I give everybody a little bit of time. I really appreciate it. And I know you probably have something else to say. So if you could you call back a little bit later? I don't even know if that's allowed. That's the first time I've ever asked that. I'm just trying to get
if we
all
have
the
time. Yeah. If we have time, Wanda, you got your call on right now. All right now.
Okay, caller number.
All right.
Oh,
hey, Wanda, it's Dr.
Chinchilla. Yes,
hi.
Dr. Chinchilla. How are you?
Yes. I am doing very well. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm trying to be like you. That's all. I'm trying to be like you. Come on, talk to me. Tell me something good. Tell me something interesting. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah,
I know you've been doing a lot of good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been enjoying the show tonight, and good to hear James again. And it's been interesting. So you were talking about gentrification. You were talking about the land bank. And the guy that came on, who's an inspector before James, he talked about the gentrification. I was going to hit on that, and I was going to hit on the land bank as well, and James talked about that. And, you know, James said that the land bank is corrupt, and yes, it is. It's been corrupt. Well, once upon a time, it was functioning a little more, I would say, fairly, and now it's just totally out of control because they're giving properties away. And, you know, they're in cahoots with a lot of the different city council people.
Yeah.
And
yes, that was the whole trial that we just had.
Yeah. And so they're like, you know, have their favoritism and, you know, they get friends and family to buy up these lots and everything. And so there's several people in the city who owns like multiple lots. I mean, lot of lots. And they got those lots a few years ago when council members were just, you know, giving them away to their family and friends. And, but, you know, it was all swept under the rug, of course. And so it's...
I said, go ahead, Dr. Cintilla. You're hitting it right on the nail. I was a little afraid to say that, but you know what it is. You know what it is.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. I had a young lady come to me, and she wanted to purchase a property. It was a lot that was next to her home. And, you know, first, and I'm going to say, you know, in the second district, and that's Kenyatta Johnson, he would not, he told her, okay, yeah, well, fill out this application, blah, 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 yeah, I'll hook it up for you, blah, blah, blah. And so it did not happen. It did not happen. He kept brushing her off and giving her the runaround. And so he did not get that sign off on that lot for her. But he signed off on it for someone else and had someone else get that lot. And, you know, it's been a lot of that going around. And we hold our Be a Voice rallies where we had held them for like about 4 or 5 years. It was a lot which used to be a playground and a recreation, well, not a recreation center, but a playground, basketball courts and all that stuff. But the city took all of that stuff down like, oh, my God, I guess it must have been over 20 years ago. And then it was just a vacant lot. The grassy area they had still there, and then the concrete, but they took the basketball courts and the swings and all that stuff out. And so kids used to still go back there now and then. They'd throw footballs and run around back there and play tag and stuff. And so we started having our Be a Voice rallies there. And it brought, like, you know, a lot of things into the community with different people coming in. And we had, like, concerts and all for the community. And so it was a developer that had purchased the lot. And so for 5 years, we fought hard to stop any building back there and to stop that developer because it used to be owned by a couple. They both passed away. And then somehow this developer got the property. And so we blocked everything he tried to do. Then another developer brought it from him, and we continued to block that as well. But again, Kenyatta Johnson, who is the councilman in the second district, he sold the community out, you know. And it is such a sad thing because we were going to make a free music school for kids. And it was going to be a community resource center and all types of things and programs for children and young adults to keep them productive and out of trouble. And so, oh, my God, so I was so pissed off and upset because now, guess what? The developer started building. And it's I heard the other guy say, you know, they had a 14-unit. No, 14-unit is nothing compared to this. It's 57 units, okay? 57 units, five-story building. No parking whatsoever, okay? And parking is already bad, and no parking, 57 more people, no parking, and these are supposed to be single-bedroom apartments. So if all of them have a car, you know, where are these cars going to go? And, you know, people are already fighting and getting shot over parking spaces. And so it's ridiculous. And so what really pisses me off is because of this gentrification. And, yes, gentrification, you know, I heard somebody explain what it was, but it's more to it than that because it's bringing in wealthier people They're coming into these inner cities, predominantly into the poorest neighborhoods, and they're taking and rebuilding, tearing down homes and rebuilding others buying up these vacant lots, and they're building condos and townhomes and then apartment complexes. And it's really ridiculous, and it pisses me off so bad when I see these younger generations that have inherited their grandparents' or great-grandparents' homes, and then they're selling them to these developers. And that really infuriates me, because they're giving them these properties because they've been getting pennies. You know, I know of one guy, he sold his for $10,000. I said, oh, God, I guess he was a crackhead. He had to be a crackhead, okay, to sell the property for $10,000, okay? and then some others got $50,000, and one person got $100,000. They were so happy, and I told them all they were idiots because they should have kept that property in their family. And, you know, that's, oh, my God, you know, the people, the other generations that have gone on, they worked hard to get those properties and pay them off. And then they're going to sell them. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so then what gentrification does.
Go ahead.
Okay.
And when you finish that statement, I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
So gentrification, it displaces the elderly who cannot afford to pay those taxes anymore. It displaces long-term homeowners, okay? They could get pushed out of their homes because their taxes are going up every year. And prime example, during COVID, they did not increase taxes, okay? But now this year, they did. And so everybody's property taxes have increased. They've doubled, in some cases tripled. And even with the programs they have in place, some of the senior citizens cannot afford to even make those installments where they give them an installment plan. And it's just so ridiculous. Yeah, it's pathetic. And so it just upsets me so much. And, the corruption in the city has to stop.
The city does have to stop. I said earlier that they have this taxing. Like, the only answer they have for everything is more taxes. And when they're not saying the T word, then it's some type of legislation, rule, regulation, ordinance that allows a city department to then fine or penalize or accrue interest on the citizens. And when you said they didn't raise the taxes last year, not always do they raise the taxes by changing the millage rate, which is voted on by city council. They'll do things like just plain old assessments, or they'll do things like add a new type of bill called the storm water bill, which is higher than your regular water bill. It costs more than your water bill. And for some properties, the storm water bills are almost as high as the darn taxes. So in fact, that is a tax as far as I'm concerned, because how do you charge somebody for God making it rain? And when you know you're dealing with the number one poorest big city, you don't keep finding ways to penalize and tax people right out of ownership. And I think that that's what they're doing. And I'm always speaking about our black and brown representatives, because before the primary, 68% of city council was black and brown. So how do we have that much representation where only 42 to 46% of the population, we have 68% representation in city council? That's where most of these headaches and financial hardships come from. And then we're still on the very bottom. Please make it make sense. And even with our new elected people in city council, we're still at 58% representation, I believe. So we're still overrepresented, but we're not overrepresented or even equally represented on the job sites of the buildings going up. I'm trying to figure out that when they sell these lots and they put up anything over a 20 unit, why can't it be, instead of something saying it has to be 20% set aside for low income, Why can't it be 20% set aside for immediate community people right there within a two-block radius or a five-block radius to then be able to buy in and be a part of that development going up or have a stake in it? You're coming in our community, you're building, you're getting banks, you're getting loans that we can't even get from the banks to build in our own community. So you're building. Why can't 20% go towards community people being able to be stakeholders in those projects going up? You know, why can't we do something with the landlords that keeps them safe and helps them get out bad tenants, so that the landlords, the black and brown landlords that supply 64%, keep their rents compatible, competitive, and low, so that that alone would then bring down the prices of the other units. If we're supplying 64 and we keep it reasonable, the other prices have to come down too. But we have to know that we can get a bad tenant out in order to keep our prices low. When we know that it's going to be a bunch of games played and we're not sure once a tenant gets in, can we get them out, then we have to pad our prices to prepare for any nonsense. And that's what you see a lot of that's going on. So what do you propose that we do? Do you have any, with all your knowledge and wisdom, do you have any answers to getting rid of this corruption in an efficient, quick way? Term limits, jail time, shooting squad, you know?
All of the above. The first thing that, you know, we have to do, I have a solution to that. We have to, you know, get the corruption out of the office, get them out of office. And the way to do that, of course, is to get out and vote. And we can even do petitions and all that stuff to get ones that we want about office out of office, because, hey, they work for us. And they're not doing their job because they're not looking after the best interests of their constituents. Some of them definitely need to go to jail. The ones that are corrupt, and there's proven evidence that they have, you know, been corrupt in office and making side deals and all that stuff. And what's that other thing? The council, what is the thing called? A council of... Yes, charismatic prerogative. That's right. And, you know, so that's been going on a lot and forever, basically.
Yeah.
And that has to stop. And they have to make new policy within city council. Their policies, I mean, they have, you know, the different policy makers there and policy advisors, but hey, they need better policies to ensure that going forward, you know, everything has to be legal. And they have to do their job with integrity. And if not, there needs to be some type of cause.
They
will lose the rest of their tenure.
Yes. Dr. Chinchilla, I want to say thank you tonight for coming on and speaking. Brother O has another track coming in, so I will talk to you later. Thank you so very much for coming on, taking the time to speak. It's greatly appreciated.
All the day long. Long as I'm making music, I know I can't do no one no wrong. Who knows, maybe someday I'll come up with a song. Makes people want to stop fussing and fighting, just People who believe in music are the happiest people I've ever seen. So clap your hands, stomp your feet, shake your tambourine, yeah. Lift your voices to the sky. God loves you when you sing. I believe in music. Brotherhood, peace and understanding, and living in harmony. Take your brother by the hand and sing along with me. Find out what it really means to feel young, rich and free. Oh, yes, I do, yeah.
I think that Wanda fell out in the spirit, y'all. Ain't that something?
No,
she believes in music, yeah. You know, you really are a WBNN host now. You fell out in the spirit.
I'm just bopping my head back and forth, and I didn't hear the whatever. But we have caller number 8, so let's keep it rolling here because we're having a really good night with the callers coming in, and I don't want to miss anybody. So who do we have?
Yo. This is Clever One, one half of the Blues Brothers, represent from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. We your sisters just fried a big-ass pan of golden brown chicken, except they was all burnt on the bottom when you flipped them over. What's good?
How are you? I can't have a show without you.
I'm just listening to all this commotion going on about these Legos out here. Now, Clever One got a few things to say if you don't mind, because check this out. I need people to measure these things. I need people to listen closely, and this is for everybody on both sides of this situation. Now, the whole thing about it is we have to understand that ever since Clever One was cracking Miller times at the age of 6 years old, I noticed that the old people in South Philly, North Philly, West Philly, places like this, right, always complained about the neighborhoods falling apart. Oh, when they going to clean it up? When they going to knock this old mess down? They got it up here hanging all over the place looking in hot mess. Right. Now that we have, regardless of what was falling apart and looking a hot mess, you know what I'm saying? Even if you had 30,000 people standing in a lot with their picket signs saying don't bulldoze this, I want to know how many of them 30,000 people was going to invest in building the damn building right there. So to prevent. You know what I'm saying? Now, that's the first part. But when the people come build the building job, because, you know, it was looking a hot goddamn mess, and when they going to clean it up and all, I'm sick of all this shooting. They don't even play basketball in the playground. They don't even play hopscotch no more. All they do is shoot and sell crack at the playground. Ain't nobody out there taking their kids. I ain't taking my kids around there. So guess what they do? They bulldoze that. Because you don't put it to use. You know what I'm saying? Now, that's the whole thing. Other thing. Now, and the second thing is, which one you want? You want them to stop the scum bum, all the crime and the criminals and the gremlins hanging around, infesting the neighborhood? Or do you want them to clean up the neighborhood, bring better people in, make the better neighborhood look better? Do it matter who the hell building it up? Because y'all was complaining about it for 49,000 years.
Sometimes
I'm clever one. One half of the Booze Brothers representing from the Broad Street bully side of Philadelphia, where your grandmom cracked you upside the head with a twig off the tree, where they was building up nothing back then. They was looking for somewhere to live in. Check the satellites.
Thank you. I really appreciate that call. Now, I want you to also remember, everything you said has some truth to it, for sure. But you have to remember, when they're building it up because a lot of times they can get loan and access to funds that some other people, like community people, can't. It also takes a certain type of skill set and collaboration and knowledge, usually second, third, fourth generation knowledge, to be able to do things like that, unless you're somebody wonderful like an Alan Don, who came here with nothing, bought a house at a young age and flipped it and had some good mentors. And, you know, he's an outlier because he had access that maybe other people may or may not have had. But he worked and sacrificed and just kept sacrificing and building and building and building till he had more. All of us can't do that. I'm in real estate, and I can't do it the way he did. And I would love to be able to build a 40, 50-unit building and put my dad's name on it and my mom's name on it. That is like a dream of mine. But you know, and I know, trying to access that money and get the right builders could literally probably bankrupt me. And, yes, we have playgrounds that they sell the crack in or crack at, and the kids don't use it. I get that. But there's a difference between gentrification, as Dr. Chinchilla explained, and revitalization, which I explained, where you include community people. You don't push them out. You don't keep raising their taxes or coming up with a fake phony storm water bill and things like that to push them out. And we've had a very good night, and so I'm at the point where I'm going to give my final thoughts. And I want people to remember, we can make Philadelphia better. We can do something now. It doesn't take a lot of money. Voting doesn't take money. Running for office takes a lot of money, but not voting and not supporting good people. Writing an email doesn't take a lot either. Picking up the phone and making a phone call, volunteering, bending over to pick up trash. You know, these things are little things that can make a big difference. You know, supporting people, saying hi, getting to know your neighbors. I want to leave with the thought of people really considering, anybody and all the people out there that are listening, and I know they are because they've been texting me tonight, that have run for offices, you all should think about getting together and pulling all the information and taking notes and comparing information of what you saw going on and what you encountered and went through. And make a decision whether or not together you all could maybe ask for an investigation or file a grievance. The things that I saw and how good people were taken advantage of and not even given a fair chance, it's just unbelievable, the political climate in Philadelphia. Also, I want to leave people with the thought of the difference between renting versus owning. I got so very involved in this primary this time because, honestly, when I heard that Helen Ginn was running, my blood just boiled. Her eviction diversion program, in my opinion, is nothing more than gentrification 5.0 on steroids with a bow on top cherry. If you want to force people to sell their properties, you make them house tenants that aren't paying and bad tenants. And when she says her program is working, in her mind it's working, and when she says other cities want to capture and follow behind, yes, other cities want to also steal and yank generational wealth from black and brown people. And I would challenge you to go find 10 landlords or even 5 landlords and ask them what do they think about her eviction diversion program and what do they think about Kendra Brooks Max renter's access bill that literally wants landlords not to look at someone's rental history. So someone like myself would have to rent to maybe someone that's not safe. Or why shouldn't I be able to have that type of information? When you go to get a house, you have to look at somebody's rental history and credit and everything. It's just ridiculous, some of the ideas that they come up with. But I would say that as a renter, you can't leverage a rental property. You can't sell it. You can't deed it. You can't pass it on. You will forever be a renter. And so when they keep saying affordable housing, you don't want to be a forever renter. So whenever they decide with a stroke of the pen, like 40th Street, that they want you moved, you have to leave. You want to be the owner. But please be careful how you do home ownership in Philadelphia because of the very high prices. Don't take on more of a house than you can really afford. And I would like to see my community people buy something that makes you money before you buy something that costs you money for 30 years. But with a home, when we can access the equity and get the loans from the bank, you can change a whole family, a whole generation with accessing the equity from a home or a business or something else. That's why it's important to be an owner. And that's why it's important that they bring jobs to Philadelphia, not more taxes. And I want to stop at that point because there's so much going on in Philadelphia. And I hope that this station encourages people out there to get involved. Tomorrow we will be having a meeting at 5015 Wayne Avenue, 9 a.m., for anybody out there that will be running in November as a third party or otherwise to get together to strategize and figure out how we're going to make Philadelphia better with new ideas and new blood. It is now Ngozi time.
in this whole wide world.
Donny Hathaway, you know, we miss him so. To me, he's the second greatest soul singer of all time. And we know how I feel about Sam Cooke, number one, but it's nothing like Donnie. And we want to thank Wanda Walker for her outstanding transcript tonight. And, of course, we come right back on these wonderful O&E stations with Beverly Nation, the one and only, with Dr. Chinchilla J, the 2022 wonderful WBNN Host of the Year, the Anna Waddell Award recipient, with her show News Forum and her topic, The Issues of the Black Man, Part 2. And this time she'll talk about the role of the black woman. Very important. That'll be 9:30 Eastern, daylight time, right here on the one and only Beverly Nation. WBNN has advertising to Ngozi Time Multimedia, Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and Twitter, and Ngozi _ Time. Ola Deli Malay with Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight? Ole De Late, I Ngozi with my at gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Deli Malay, with Ngozi saying goodnight and good luck. So all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now back to the talker. You could talk a country mile and come back into the city. Miss Wanda Walker.
Hello, everyone. And before I leave, I want to let everybody know, I want to reiterate what Brother O just said, because it's very important. On Sunday, we are going to have a hot topic, the issues of the black man. Okay? So that has the possibilities of going all sorts of which ways. And I want to see how people are going to address that. I'm definitely going to be tuning into that one. That's this Sunday at 9:30 p.m. with Dr. Chinchilla, our one and only. And issue, the topic is Issues of the Black Man. And I happen to think black men are just absolutely awesome. Thank you very much, Brother O.
Making music all the day long. Long as I'm making music, I know I can't do no one no wrong. Who knows, maybe someday I'll come up with a song. Makes people want to stop fussing and fighting, just long enough to sing along. People who believe in music are the happiest people I've ever seen. So clap your hands, stomp your feet, shake your tambourine, yeah. Lift your voices to the sky. God loves you when you sing. I believe in music. Don't you know that I